This is the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. Hurricane Matthew is still a Category 3 storm as we're live here Friday at noon. His eye wall has been hugging the Space Coast north of us, making his way toward Jacksonville. Dire predictions for South Florida just didn't come to be on Thursday as the brunt of the storm stayed offshore. Small jogs to the east in his path spared our area from the worst of those winds. According to the National Weather Service, preliminary reports, 35-mile-an-hour gusts in Miami-Dade, 40 miles per hour in Broward, 50 miles per hour were felt in Palm Beach County as Matthew made his way north-northwest. There are still some power outages throughout South Florida as Florida Power and Light continues to work to regain those power. In Miami-Dade County, about 5,000 customers are without power. For the same in Broward County, Palm Beach County, which did see stronger winds than the other two counties, has a greater number of folks still without power here at noon on Friday. 43,060 FPL customers are without power. That's where we will begin the Florida Roundup. How did your power hold up? 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. You can join the conversation on the telephone, on the radio, and of course online as well. At WLRN is our handle on Twitter. Peter Robbins joins us now. He's the Nuclear Communications Manager for FPL. Peter, the latest digits, latest outages that we mentioned for FPL customers, when can they expect to get their power back, beginning in Miami-Dade County and moving north throughout your territory?
Yeah, well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. The good news for our customers is we're in the field working right now. We were able to work overnight as well. We have committed to getting everyone in Miami-Dade County restored today. We'll be knocking those numbers down here hour by hour. We're at about 5,000 outages, as you said, right about now. Broward, same thing. We committed to getting all those customers reconnected by the end of the day. We're going to get most of Palm Beach County back online today, the vast majority, and we intend to finish Palm Beach County tomorrow. You said it right, Tom. This thing, boy, what a close call.
Yeah.
This could have been so much worse. What a difference, 10 and 20 miles makes.
Certainly. Let me ask you the type of outages that you experienced 11 years ago when the infrastructure at FPL was really tested and some would argue failed. It was substations that really lost power, and that compounded the problems that South Florida experienced with millions of customers out without power, in some cases for weeks. What types of power outages did you experience yesterday because of Matthew?
Yeah, it was a lot different than the substation challenge we had, which, if I recall, I think was Wilma. But
Wilma, yes.
Yeah, mostly these were wind-related, wires coming down. We had some lightning strikes, so there's always the potential that equipment will be damaged by that. So that was what we saw. Certainly not nearly as widespread as previous storms and is what we might have expected. So we consider that a big win. When we're able to, avoid that. I will say our grid's a lot stronger than it was 10 years ago. We've invested more than $2 billion to make it stronger and smarter, and we feel like it performed, and we were able to avoid a lot of outages. The cleanup work and the restoration work we're doing today should go faster because of the technology we have in place.
Let me ask you about the infrastructure hardening that FPL has undertaken on behalf of its customers, but also with customer money over the past 11 years since Hurricane Wilma. Three basic things that I know that FPL has done. One is replace wooden power poles with concrete poles. Didn't see much of a wind event really yesterday to really test that. And I believe it's some hardening around those substations and making them more water resistant and waterproof. Any sense of that testing of the hardening?
The flood monitoring we put in place really wasn't tested on a widespread scale in Miami-Dade County, to be honest with you. We'll have a better sense of how that performed in the Treasure Coast and the Space Coast a little later. We're not really getting a sense of that today, and it's not our focus today, but the system overall performed well. We do know that. We track numbers and look at it over the course of the summer when we can have very severe thunderstorms, and we know that our system has performed about 40% better than it did before all the hardening efforts that we put in place.
One of the other hardening things that you folks did was replace these couplers that hold the power lines essentially to the power poles. They had been ceramic or porcelain, and they tend to crack in high winds, and you put a polymer one in that has more elasticity. Were those tested at all in Palm Beach County, which saw the highest winds, at least here in South Florida? And what kind of performance are you seeing north with higher winds?
Yeah, they were tested, absolutely, and they're being tested right now for the folks in Daytona Beach in that area. So, you know, we know the system performed better here in South Florida, say from Palm Beach County south. You know, we're still feeling the effects of the weather and still seeing new outages, you know, in those other areas. But and we'll make that assessment. But, you know, we feel like the investments we made, you know, we did it for our customers all along, and we feel like it helped in this storm. You know, we'll crunch those numbers and evaluate that another day. Our focus right now is just on reconnecting everybody. But so far, you know, we definitely feel like we've been able to help avoid some outages.
Peter Robbins, the nuclear communications manager at FPL. We've been focused on South Florida. That's who listens to us here at WLRN. But I know you've got more than 150,000 customers in Volusia County north of us without power. Tell us what kind of restoration efforts, just for those folks who may be listening, who may have tried to escape Matthew and they came south, or have friends and family up in the Treasure Coast and the First Coast areas.
Sure. Yeah, you know, the Treasure Coast area took some heavy weather last night and this morning, and as did the Space Coast area and going north. So we, you know, we have more than a million customers up that way who are still feeling the effects of Matthew, or will feel them throughout the day today. So, you know, the good news is we got 15,000 men and women ready to go who are in the field today connecting power. You know, they're hard at work down here where the weather's improved greatly, of course, and where they can get involved on the north side, where when the winds drop below 35 miles per hour, they can jump into the field and restore power, even if it's only for a few hours.
Yeah.
So that's really the factor for us as to whether or not they can be out restoring power is the wind speed. So, you know, as the weather passes, we're sort of following the storm to the north on the back end, if you will, as the winds kind of die down and it's safe for us to be in the field. We're following it north and deploying all of our people to get folks reconnected.
Quick takeaways for our folks here in South Florida. If you're still without power, FPL customer in Miami-Dade and Broward, you should expect to be able to turn the lights on today. Is that right, Peter?
You absolutely should be able to expect to turn them on today, and most of Palm Beach County restored today as well, and the rest of Palm Beach County tomorrow. If I can say one last thing, just stay safe, folks. Don't go near down power lines or any damaged equipment. You know, I don't think we had widespread damage in Miami-Dade County, but stay away from anything that looks like it's dangerous, and definitely stay away from power lines.
Always wise advice. Peter Robbins, spokesperson with FPL. Thanks for joining us here on the Florida Rondo, Peter, for the latest. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Tom.
Let's go to our reporter, Kate Stein, who has been spending Hurricane Matthew and the aftermath of what there is in Palm Beach County. Kate, here the morning after, what have you experienced? What are conditions like in Palm Beach County?
Well, I've been living kind of throughout Palm Beach County, and really it's a lot of downed you know, trees, a lot of foliage, a lot of palm fronds all over the place. I haven't seen any down power lines myself. I've heard reports from most recently the town of Palm Beach and also the city of West Palm Beach that they have power lines that they're contending with there. But overall, I think Palm Beach is, you know, it looks like it's escaped the brunt of this storm. So cloudy, you know, but overall not looking too bad here.
Any road closures still in effect here at noon on Friday?
So I was just looking into that. I was at the town of West Palm Beach around 9 o'clock this morning, and they had just reopened. I'm sorry, the island, so Palm Beach,
right?
The town of Palm Beach, and they had just reopened two residents with proper ID. And I was told that it would be fully open around noon, but haven't been able to find anything about that on the website yet. So that one's still up in the air. But if you are a resident and you have your ID with you, you should still be able to get back on.
We know that there were some evacuation orders given for the island as Hurricane Matthew was making its way toward that area, and forecasters had originally thought that it could certainly take the brunt of the storm in Palm Beach County. Peter Hayden, WLRN reporter for Broward and Palm Beach County, is with us as well on the line. Peter, you visited some shelters yesterday and last night. Did you encounter any of those evacuees, or were they there voluntarily?
I did, Tom. I did encounter a number of them. A large percentage of the residents who had come to a shelter, a pet-friendly shelter in what would be unincorporated Lake Worth, were evacuees from mobile home parks, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And they had been advised by Palm Beach County Sheriff deputies that had come through their neighborhoods to evacuate. And so they came. There were 15 area shelters open last night, and I have to say, it was kind of a success story. The management and the people who were overseeing the shelters explained to me that they didn't have any major incidents. There was one seizure, but that was handled by medical personnel who were on staff. And beyond that, things seemed to go pretty smoothly. People started to check out of those shelters this morning as early as 4 o'clock,
yeah.
I understand. And they were, you know, anxious to go home and see what had happened.
Yeah. So, speaking of which, Rowan Mulgarity is with us here in studio. Rowan, you spent most of last night at the Broward Emergency Operating Center. Broward County was the southernmost county in the hurricane warning portion of the forecast. Barely experienced tropical storm force winds. I think 40 miles an hour was the highest National Weather Service wind clocked at Fort Lauderdale-Hollywood International Airport. I think there was also a 51-mile-an-hour wind maybe at Port Everglades. What did you experience this morning as you were looking around Broward County?
That's right. Well, most of Broward seemed to be back in business today. I stopped by the marina and Dania Beach, and landscaping crews were out. Folks were checking on their boats, taking hurricane shutters off the storefronts there as early as 8 a.m. So I think Broward was the first place. I mean, very quickly after Miami-Dade, Broward was one of the first places that saw, okay, I think we escaped this one.
There was a moment last night when we were on the air where you spoke about the TV screens at the EOC that had been filled with colorful maps and radar images and wind field storms that quickly turned over to some other material as Broward County emergency officials felt comfortable that they were out of any danger zone.
Sure. Well, let's just say that it's very well staffed. I mean, they had more than 200 people, obviously, in a serious situation. Every one of them is needed. But you did just see late into last night and up through this morning, them gradually kind of taking the foot off the pedal. I was, in fact, the only person left sleeping in the EOC billeting room by the time I woke up around 6 this morning.
I'm not sure if that makes you dedicated or something else, but regardless, thank you for that service. I want to ask you, though, Broward County took the step of closing roads, announcing road closures. We didn't see that. I don't think Kate Stein in Palm Beach County, did we?
Not as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
Officials were kind of telling people to stay off the roads, but I was not aware of any official closures.
And Rowan Mulgarity, what was the rationale for that kind of mid-afternoon road closure announcement from Broward County?
An abundance of caution is how they put it to us. Again, you know, to be clear, just like an evacuation order, you can't make people stay off the roads, or at least they were not prepared to try. So it really amounts to a very strong plea, as I was saying yesterday. And this morning, I actually talked to a few people who were more mad at media than at the authorities, but all in all felt that too much had been made of it. So again, you know, one of the real tough things here is that you have to make a set of very sensitive judgment calls with, you know, only partial information.
Yeah.
And so as long as they felt that the storm could have, you know, moved west, then...
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit more about those judgment calls that have been made by political leaders and continue to be made as, of course, Hurricane Matthew is threatening our neighbors to the north. Peter Hayden, to that point, though, as you spoke with folks that decided to show up to the shelters, what was their motivation? Were they criticizing the media as they were exiting, perhaps even late last night, for making so much of Matthew and the threat?
I don't think they were criticizing the media so much, Tom, at least not to my face. but they were more critical, I think, of law enforcement. There was a little bit of hard feelings on the part of some of the residents that had come to the shelter, saying that they had felt a little intimidated you know, by law enforcement, that they had to leave or that they had gotten a very strong please, maybe, as Rowan said. But they had felt like they really, it was pretty much required of them.
Hmm.
And, that was the feeling coming in. But they were more or less, everybody was making the best of a bad situation. Most people seemed to be agreeable and have wanted to be there. They didn't want to be in a you know, many people made the case, well, I'd rather be here than at home, you know, wondering if the house is going to blow away.
Peter, you were at a pet-friendly shelter and encountered a new species, a new animal that you were telling us about yesterday when we were on the radio.
A sugar glider. Right, a sugar glider.
Which
sugar
is?
A sugar glider is a small, it's kind of like a hamster-looking thing, and it might fly. I don't know if it flies or not, actually, but I think it belongs to either the, it might belong to the rodent family.
All right, well, he,
probably
she,
listeners will know and they'll let us know.
Yeah, he, she, or it certainly found shelter last night in Palm Beach County. Peter Hayden, WLRN's reporter in Palm Beach and Broward County. Kate Stein, our transportation and environment reporter, and our education reporter, Rowan Morgarity, all pulling storm duty here on WLRN. Thanks to all three of you. We appreciate your time.
Tom.
You bet. Glad to
Thanks.
Be here.
Still to come, we'll talk about some of those warnings that South Floridians certainly heard within the last 36 hours. Did you heed those warnings? Did you ignore them? Let's get the phone calls in. 800-743-9576. 800-743-WLRN.